Well, hello, Westbury. Hey, so just want you to know where we're going. I'm hiding nothing here, okay? I'm hiding nothing. Here's what we're doing today, where we're going. Jesus purchased your priceless salvation. All right? That's where we're going. For some of you, that's like old school. I want it to be fresh. For some of you, it's new. Now, technically, I wanted to say our priceless salvation was purchased by a perfect Savior, but then this message would have been sponsored by the letter P, and our legal team didn't want to pay the fee, so we're forgetting that. Simplifying. Jesus purchased your priceless salvation. Let me just say, God is amazing. And it can sound cliche, except it's true. And I want to give you an example just from our bodies. So we're talking about blood, which is like, ooh, that's a little weird. No, it's not. It's life-giving. Listen to this. I looked at this book, Dr. Horace Smith. He wrote a book, oddly enough, called Bloodworks. And he is a hematologist, which I didn't know what that was. I looked it up. But he works with and studies blood. And he has discovered that our bodies contain approximately 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Not collectively as though in the world, like each individual body, 60,000 miles of blood vessels. That's very impressive. I don't know. Let's see if I can press it this way. How about to connect with all the cells in the body? Our capillary walls cover an area of about 70,000 square feet. So think of the size of your apartment, your home. Like when we lived in the city, our family of five, we were in a 850 square foot apartment. It was great. We loved it. It was no problem. When we moved out here, it's like, oh my goodness, like look at all this space, all these different homes. They're 1,000 square feet, 2,000, 3,000 more. But in our bodies, 70,000 square feet. Now you look at me and say, wow, that guy's huge. And that makes sense for me. No, clearly I'm not. But each, regardless of your size, 70,000 square feet of capillary walls. Every day, our heart beats 100,000 times. So over an average lifespan, it beats 2.5 billion times. So pumping all this blood through the superhighway of these blood vessels. And you may want time off, but the heart never takes a day off. If it does, it's serious business. Even just for a few minutes, a body without blood supply can cause severe damage or even death. All right, here's my favorite. If this doesn't impress you, I don't know what does. Each drop, okay? Each drop of human blood contains over 5 million red cells. Okay, yawn. But in an average lifetime, if a person's red cells were arranged in a single file, they would reach from the earth to the sun and back five times. Come on, God is amazing. Like all of this is happening in our bodies. You're not even thinking about it, but it's happening right now. It's incredible. Why are we talking about blood? Well, the Bible actually speaks of blood over 400 times. A lot of those are in the what we call the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew Bible, right? The Old Testament, where we learn about all of the sacrifices, blood sacrifices, which again, that's weird. Right, that's not part of our culture, but it was when that was written, and it was for a purpose. We'll get to that in a second. But even in the New Testament, the blood of Jesus is mentioned nearly three times as much as the cross of Christ, and the blood of Jesus is mentioned five times more than the death of Christ. So for the writers of the Bible, it is nothing but the blood. And here's why. Blood is essential to life. Without blood, we cannot survive physically. If you've ever given blood or if you've ever received blood, you know that's why it happens. That's why we give blood, because it will help someone else live physically. But it's the same is true spiritually. We cannot survive without blood spiritually. Leviticus chapter 17 says this, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have," this is God, "I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." Atonement, fancy word for being right with God, being forgiven right with God. "I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So each week in this series, Nothing But the Blood, we're going to explore the benefits and necessities of the blood of Jesus. This is a season of Lent, and we end with Good Friday, and then it culminates with Easter. So we're going to look at the different benefits. The first benefit of the blood of Jesus is its purchasing power. Its purchasing power, which is why I can say that your priceless salvation was purchased by a perfect Savior. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "You know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Look at the word redeemed. Like, that's a significant word right here. And that's what we're talking about in terms of Jesus' blood having purchasing power. You've probably seen the commercial. I even actually have the credit card, but what's in your wallet? Right? Like, you may be able to get bonus miles or bonus points 2, 3, 5 times, depending on what you purchase and where you purchase it, but it's worthless for our salvation. What's in your wallet? It better be the blood of Jesus. So this word redeemed, it implies a slave standing on the auction block. And once a price is negotiated, that price to purchase or free the slave is called a ransom. Now, when you hear the word ransom, what do you think of? Like hostages, right? Kidnapping, hostages. Do you recognize this young child? This is 20-month-old Charles Lindbergh Jr. So the son of the famed aviator. And then you have this young boy, Eric Peugeot. He's the 4-year-old grandson of the head of the Peugeot automotive industry. This young girl, Kyoko Chan Cox, is the 8-year-old daughter of Yoko Ono. And then you'll recognize at least one person in this picture, likely. You got old blue eyes there, Frank Sinatra, and his 19-year-old son, Frank Sinatra Jr. You know what they all have in common? They're children of celebrities who were all kidnapped. And so when there's a kidnapping, there is a ransom note. Looks something like this, kind of hard to read. You know, you want to make sure that you can't figure out who wrote it. And in case you're wondering, now you can sleep at night and have peace. The highest ransom ever paid in terms of dollars was $60 million, largest amount ever to redeem. Huh. Fun fact, won't change your life, but there you go. But folks, we are all hostages in life. We are hostages trying to pay our own ransom. We try to do it on our own, but here's the deal. Look what Psalm 49 says. "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough." Wow. We are all hostages trying to free ourselves, by works, by deeds, or trying to numb ourselves because we realize we can't free ourselves in a number of ways, but no ransom will ever free a person. Let's go back to 1 Peter. This is why it says, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold. Like, it won't do it. What's in your pocket? Like, it doesn't matter how much that $60 million sets a Guinness record. Wow. But it won't buy salvation. It won't buy forgiveness. We need the purchasing power of Jesus. You look at the next part. He says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life. I was looking at the front part of that verse this week, really focusing on redemption, redeem, and looking at all kinds of things about it. And then literally, just like a couple of days ago, I just realized, oh my goodness, we're trying to be redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down from our ancestors. So if you feel like, oh, my life is meaningless, just blame your ancestors. There it is, in print. It was handed down to you. And guess what? We're handing it down as well. It's empty. Now, I don't know a lot about cars. I don't know anything about cars. I know where you put the key in, and if it's the keyless, that really messes me up because it doesn't make sense, and you click the button. But I know this is a car that you don't want to buy. I mean, unless you're a collector of rust, I don't know, it's just art, it could make a good photograph. But this is our empty lives that we're trying to free. But why? We're going nowhere. We know we're guilty, and so we try to find liberation from our sin or from our guilt or our pain in all the predictable ways. Some are legal and socially acceptable, right? We overwork, we overeat, we overdrink, we overbinge media. Some are illegal and harmful. Do drugs, crime, fighting. Here's a picture of a friend of mine. I actually didn't know him when he was this age. I think he's about 17 here. The gentleman with the hat. This is a guy. He's an amazing guy today. I mean, if you get a chance to meet him, you will love him. Full of life, full of love, full of just passion, but not here. It was an empty life. Here he is in Florida. He's from New York, though. But his family realized, you need some help. You got to get out of here, because he was running with all the boys and doing all the things that were not healthy. He was having a blast, but it was a destructive lifestyle. He quit school at age 15 because he knew it all. I don't need school. That's not for me. I don't need it. I can survive on the street. And his parents finally was like, let's get this kid out of here. They sent him to Florida, hoping for a fresh start will change things for him. But as he told me, trouble finds trouble. And so he found the same group of friends, different names, but doing the same things. And by the time he was 17, he wasn't living with his family anymore. He was living in a crack house, and his life was going nowhere fast. He actually tells a story of how he was with his family in Florida, and there was a knock on the door, and it was a pastor going door to door sharing about Jesus, sharing about the purchasing power of Jesus' blood. And there was something that he said that just gripped his heart. And he tells the stories like his family members were behind the pastor, kind of making fun of him, like, you know, kind of laughing at him. But David, there was something about what this guy said that made a lot of sense. His story is really the same as ours. It's the same story. Maybe we go different directions. We suffer from different things, but we have the exact same need. Depending on your age, you may remember this next picture. At school, I would get milk, and on the carton, it would have like missing children. it was incredibly depressing for like a teenager drinking milk at school and having to look at this kid. Like, I didn't know these kids. Like, I just wanted to drink my milk. Why are they bothering my lunchtime? Today, we get mail. There's, you know, all kinds of this and that and bills and then all kinds of flyers. And like, oh, here's a coupon, 50% off from the dry cleaner. And on the other side, it's like, have you seen this child? Now, I'm an adult. I have children. I'm a follower of Jesus. So I have more compassion. So I actually pause. I'm like, oh, like this poor family. Like, God, would you protect this child? Find this child. And then I just throw it in the trash, you know, going through the mail. That's it. I'm driving. We get the Amber Alert sometimes on the signs. And I'm like, oh, God, I pray for that. And I'm looking for Chevy, gray Chevy, license plate, blah, blah, blah. And I'm driving. I'm like, you know, where? There's a Chevy. Oh, it's the wrong one. And I'm like, oh, find this kid. And then I get to where I'm going, and out of sight, out of mind. I don't think about it again. You know why? They're not my children. There is no connection. I feel momentarily, I pause, I pump the brakes and say, wow, I can't imagine. This is devastating. Not my kids. Folks, if one of my children was missing and I had a flyer, an Amber Alert, a milk carton, and you saw it and just like, and tossed it, I would beg you, I would plead with you, I would just do whatever I could to ask you to come alongside and help me find my child. We are God's children. We were that broken car going nowhere. We had no ability to pay a ransom. Hey, David, can you come up here? No ability to pay a ransom. And so God sent his son, Jesus. Look at this verse again, 1 Peter 1. For you know it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Chris, get the next. Thanks, man. The precious blood of Christ. He was the ransom. Look what Paul says to Timothy. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Remember, in Psalms it says, there is no ransom price that you can pay. We can't do it. But God says, I have one. And he sent Jesus. Mark 10, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This enables us to go from that old dilapidated car to something like this other car. Show this other one. Again, I don't know much about cars, but I think that one's pretty good. It has a lot of value. You can go fast. You can like turn people's eyes like, hey, dude, nice car. Like, that's awesome. Maybe you don't like that. What's your car? Picture in your mind, like, oh, man, in fact, it's going somewhere. It's not empty. It's full of life. Look at John 10:10. Says this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who are the thieves in your life? Who's sucking the life out of you? Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. David, I wanted to bring you up here because I wanted to talk about the full life. Hey, Chris, could you put that picture back up? That's David. This is his story before and after. He was cute then. He's so good looking now too, right? But this was a kid who was trouble, was going nowhere fast, and sent him places, and you were really good at finding trouble. You were really good. Very skilled at finding trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But that pastor shared something. Something touched your heart. But then you came back home. Tell us, you came back to New York.
Yeah.
I know the story is you're sitting in the car with your buddies, getting high. What happened?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even really remember that story about the pastor until months later down the line, and God brought it to my remembrance. But I remember, you know, we were just hanging out, like you said, coming back from the city. You know, we in the car, and we're drinking, and just we're in the car. There's about five or six of us, and one of my friends, you know, just said, "Hey, listen." I'm dating myself now, but he said, I got a cassette, you know, if you want to listen to, you know, do you guys mind if I throw it in? And we said,
a cassette tape, some of you can see it. It's about this size. It's like, I was going to say a CD, but do we even have CDs anymore? It's like an iPod. Anyway.
So he throws it on. We said, yeah, man, whatever. So he threw it on, and it was a pastor speaking. I've never heard a pastor, you know, I didn't know what it was. I had no clue. His sister was a Christian, and he knew we were all a mess, and he just wanted to throw it in to, I don't know, mess with us. I don't know what it was, but he just threw it in, and I mean, nobody, you know, said a word. We were just sitting in the car, just listening, you know, and just, okay. We went home, and it was like a couple of weeks later, we were chilling in a parking lot once again and hanging out, and he said, hey, you know what? I got another one of those tapes. Do you guys mind if I throw it in? And we said, spark another one. Come on, throw it in, you know, throw it in. And we said, oh, man, is this getting good? He threw it in. And, I mean, it was, you know, at one point I was just kind of like, we were like, who is this guy speaking? Is he real? Is he alive? Where is he? Like, he's gangster. You know, this guy is a real thug. I mean, he knows exactly what he's talking about. We never heard anything he was saying. And he said, yeah, this is Pastor David Wilkers. He was actually an older pastor from Times Square Church. And, you know, we just asked him, you know, can we go see him? Where is this? And we did. We eventually made it to the church one day. I mean, we were under the influence when we all went, but we did. Not yet. Soon we did. But yeah, no. But we made it to church, and yeah, it was crazy, man.
So tell me, because your parents, your family thought, man, you're just out there. But then you actually gave your heart to Jesus, but they still thought you're out there, but for a different reason.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy, yeah. I know a lot of people meet me, and they're like, oh, your family. Like, you don't know about my family. Like, and I mean, when I first came to the Lord, it was like, you know, they were like, David, you were crazy like this. You went from one extreme to the other, you know what I mean? Like, and they didn't understand it, obviously. You know, they didn't want any part of it, and it was tough, you know. None of us grew up that way. And it was just crazy, yeah. But little by little, you know, God's faithfulness, man, yeah.
Yeah, God has done and is doing a work in your life. I mean, I don't know how well you know David. You know maybe some more details about his life now. But it's just, I wanted him to share because it's just a picture of a full life. It's not a perfect life. Nobody's perfect. You know, we're human. You know, we're going to mess up. But it's a full life. It's a full life so that when we mess up, we respond to the Holy Spirit and say, oh, God, yes, I was wrong. Forgive me. We make things right with one another. But it's a full life. I just want you to realize that Jesus purchased for you his priceless salvation. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It was purchased. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can do that. Mm-hmm. David, man, thanks for letting us into your life and kind of peeking behind the curtain. So.
Amen. Can I just say something real quick? I just want to encourage anybody. I don't know. You know, listen, I don't know if it's you, your family member, somebody, anybody else out there. You know, there's nothing really special about me. Obviously, we all have our own stories, but it's just a reminder what God can do, whether you're old, young, or wherever you're from, whatever your background is. All it takes is somebody who's willing. I mean, if I had the time, you know I could yap the trap. You know, he knows. When we start talking, forget it. I could tell you story after story that if somebody had told me back then when I was 19, going to make that decision, we don't believe in crystal balls or anything like that, but if they said, David, look, that's going to be you, man, graduating from college. What? College? Like, come on, school, education. then becoming a nurse. That's you in the Philippines. That's you in Nicaragua, Guatemala, Peru, Panama, Chile, Haiti, Romania. You name it. That's you here. That's your brother. That's your sister. She's married to an amazing person. There it is. And the story just goes on and on. Be excited about God. Whatever, wherever you're at, just and it just keeps going, man. I'm excited. It's just still. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Amen.
And I'm glad he shared that end, just if we can predict the future, because we know what the future holds when we read that verse about how our ancestors passed down this empty life. That's our future, that we will pass down an empty life outside of the purchasing power of the blood of Jesus. There's a new way of life that David and his family are now passing down. It's full of hope. It's full of life. It's full of love. It's nothing he did. It's nothing you and I did. It's everything that Jesus did. Jesus purchased your priceless salvation. I want to just close with this story, just a picture of redemption, of freedom, of how we can go from that old dilapidated car to that hot rod or whatever your thing is, where you can have not an empty way of life, but a full life, living the life that God intended. Don't hear perfect. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna hear we're following Jesus. And when we slip up, he is gonna help us and clean us. And that's why we need one another, to be able to say, hey, give me a hand up, help me. That's why we need one another. This is a story. Pastor was in front of his church in Boston, and there was this young kid carrying this old, like rusty, really messed up bird cage with a half a dozen birds in there who were kind of freaked out because he's just like walking down the street, you know, swinging this cage. And the pastor's like, hey, what? Tell me about the birds. Where'd you find those birds? He's like, oh, I caught them, and I'm throwing them in here, and I'm just going to have some fun with them, and then feed them to my cat when I'm done. And the guy's like, well, just let them go. He goes, nah, they're just old birds. Nobody cares about them. They don't even sing or anything. The pastor says, I'll tell you what, let me buy the cage and the birds from you. The kid's like, why? They're just dumb birds. They don't mean a thing. They negotiated a price, and the kid was like, all right, whatever. Pastor takes the cage behind the church where there's some trees. He opens it, and the birds just like flutter out. And he takes the cage when he speaks the next time at church. And he just puts it right up on like the altar, the stage area, as a picture of redemption. The birds were free. And he said he was told that the birds didn't sing. But he said he heard a song, and it sounded like they were singing, I'm free, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. And that's the song that our Heavenly Father wants us to sing, that we are redeemed, not by good works. I encourage you to do good works. They're good. In fact, the Bible says God created us to do good works, but our salvation is not based on that. I encourage you to go to church. It's good, it's healthy, but our salvation is not based on that. There's all these kind of to-dos that are good for the Christian life. Our salvation is not based on that. It's based on the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus purchased your priceless salvation. We're going to have communion. Those of you helping with communion, if you can get into your spots, we're going to do it differently this time. Actually, we're going to kind of do it old school, like we used to do it, where you actually come up. If for those of you kind of on that side of the curtain, there's going to be a couple people in the back. So you're going to turn and go back. The rest of you can turn and come this way. Now, keep in mind, we're trying to honor the 6-foot distance. Obviously, when you come up to receive the communion, we're not going to toss it to you, so you can come up. But Pablo, Rosie, Corey, and I, when you come up, we just want to look you in the eye and say, Jesus purchased your priceless salvation. And then you take take this. So if you're not familiar with these, it's kind of the all-in-one communion cup. There's a little thin plastic thing on the top, uncovers the cracker, and then the juice. Instead of taking it all together, like we always do, go grab it, go back to your chair, and then when you are ready, take it. Listen to the words that are sung, pray a prayer, thanking God for his salvation that he offers through Jesus, and then you can go ahead and take and eat. When you take that cracker, it's a symbol of Christ's body that was broken for you, for me. When you drink that juice, it's a symbol of the blood that we're talking about with this purchasing power that Christ shed for us. So the band's going to sing and come up or go back as God leads, and then you take it when you're ready.